Welcome to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. On this episode, we chat with Mike Nolan, the president and general manager of the South Shoreline. Mike updates us on the double track project and what that means for passengers in and out of South Bend. We will talk about moving the train from the east side of the airport to the west side of the airport and why. We chat about the possibility of bringing the train into downtown South Bend, as well as the government's transportation funding bill and how they will utilize the money. Now, here are your hosts, Chamber President and CEO Jeff Ray and Director of Member Relations Mark McGill.
And welcome to the Behind the Region podcast, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. Jeff Ray, if I weren't working for the Chamber, my other dream job was to work for the railroad.
Well, I think we got the great guest for you then today. That's perfect.
We absolutely do.
So we're sitting down today with Mike Nolan. Mike's the big head cheese honcho, president, CEO over at the South Shore Railroad. Mike, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here.
And we have a help wanted page. I'll send it to you.
Please, there we go.
I'm one of those. In fact, it doesn't matter what kind of train it is. I talked to Josh Sisk, the director of the zoo. I said, when you need someone to drive the zoo train, you call me. I'm your guy. I've just been, as you know, a lot of people are fascinated with trains. I am. I just love, and we take the South Shore. We take the South Shore to Chicago and back just to be on the train.
Yep.
Without going anywhere.
Do you need references? For?
I do. I need him to ride a little more, too. That'd be great.
Be sure to call. Yes, exactly. So, Mike, welcome. So we're thrilled. This South Shore's been such an important part of our community for a really long time. It's a really critical transportation link into one of the biggest economies in the world. Give us just start with a little South Shore history.
Sure. South Shore dates our birthday to 1908, so we're 115 years old or so. We are an electrified railroad from South Bend to Chicago Millennium Station. And the line there in Chicago is about 90 miles. We own and operate 75 miles of that trackage. The last 15 or so miles on the metro system in Chicago. We are in the midst of an historic investment in this railroad, not seen since the 1920s when Samuel Insull bought the railroad and invested then the largest amount up to that date and time. We've got $1.5 billion of capital investment going into the railroad over the next 5 years. It's an exciting time to be here, and we're really excited about opportunities out here in the South Bend, St. Joe County area.
Great. Mike, let's go back personal for a second before we get into some of these projects. So Mark mentioned this desire to work in rail. You've had the pleasure of working for almost 40 years now in this business. How's the guy get involved?
It's not almost anymore. I started in 1983 in the commuter railroad industry. Spent my first three decades over on the metro system in Chicago. Then I was with a private sector freight holding company for a few years. And then in 2014, I had the opportunity to take over for Jerry Hannis, who was my predecessor and had been the only CEO of Northern Indiana Commuter Transportation District that started in 1977. Jerry retired. I took the job and loved it every step of the way. But, you know, prior to that, I was a student here at the University of Notre Dame. And so my transportation to and from the Chicago area was taking the South Shore in the late 70s. So know the system very, very well.
Great. Mike, let's shift. And you mentioned historic investment. Never have you seen this kind of investment in the system. Let's talk a little bit about that, maybe first with what's going on with double track.
Yeah. Again, I mentioned Sam Insull. He put on the drawing boards in the 20s to double track the railroad from Michigan City into Chicago. It took us 90 years to get there. But come next May, we will be double tracked from Michigan City all the way till we join the metro system. So the last segment was between Michigan City and Gary, Indiana, 26-mile corridor. And we're more than 50% done with that project. When we open up service, we're going to dramatically reduce time to market from everywhere along the line. South Bend, our current service today is about 2.5 hours. We have one train at 6 a.m. that gets you there a little less than 2 hours. We're going to get to about 1 hour and 45 minutes on our express train, and we'll be a little over 2 hours on our normal train. So there's going to be significant improvement up and down the line. I just use South Bend as an example, but Michigan City is going to see vast improvement in their service and time to market. On-time performance is going to go up. We're going to also add more trains. So more trains on the line, so more frequency opportunities for our customers to choose. We are really excited about the opportunity double track is going to bring.
Great. And talk Westlake Connector.
Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, focus on the area of where they where they know and where they take the train from. But we're building an 8-mile extension from North Hammond down to the Munster-Dyer border. That's the Westlake Corridor. It's along what used to be the Monon Railroad service. NICTI purchased the line from CSX Transportation along with Munster and Dyer, or Munster and Hammond, rather, in 1990 to preserve it to be a potential commuter railroad one day. And that one day will happen. And so May of 25, we're opening up this line segment that's going to run down from Hammond to Dyer. So we're really excited about that. That's a $950 million project. The double tracking, $650 million. So my math was wrong. That's $1.6 billion between the two of them. And all funded, all under construction, all on schedule. We're excited.
You know, it's interesting. That's a big dollar amount. Talk about just what's happening in general in the industry, the appetite, why you're able to advance projects like that right now.
So Indiana is a pretty conservative state, and the return on investment was the key driver, I think, for a lot of individuals to contribute to the project, especially the folks in the state house in Indianapolis. The return on investment anticipated is conservatively $2 for every state dollars put in, more likely $4 to one. It's expected that $2.5 billion of private sector investment is going to follow the investments along the corridor. We're already seeing $400 to $500 million of investments now before we even turn on a new train. So it's exciting, and it's because of the opportunities that come along, the private sector investment and the development that comes along with those opportunities.
Great. So let's talk South Bend for a second. So so again, a long history here, a longtime customer of you during your student days a few years ago. So there's some conversation now happening about enhancing what's happening on the South Bend line. Give us a feel for what's on the drawing board for South Bend.
Sure. I mean, everybody knows we used to come to downtown South Bend in the beginning days of the railroad. Back in the 60s, there was a lot of disinvestment in the service, and we probably weren't a good business partner. I say we, the universal we, since we started in 1908. And so we moved out of town down to where Amtrak boards now along Bendix Avenue. Then along 1990, the airport invited us in and thought that would be a really good home for us. We went into the east side of the airport, which is basically the back end of the airport. We go past the airport and we go all the way around the backside to get into the east side with the intention in 1992 that we would go to the west side of the airport. We've been at that temporary location for 31 years. There's probably, I don't know how many different studies and proposals and evaluations that we've gone through over the last three decades to try to figure out where we're going to be ultimately region. Where is the future of the South Shore Station going to be?
So, you know, to some people, east side versus west side makes no difference to me. Why should people care about one side versus the other?
There's a huge advantage to being on the west side of the airport. First of all, we'll come directly off of our main line into the west side of the airport. So it saves distance, but it also saves time. We will eliminate there's about 21 grade crossings that exist going into the east side of the airport. We'll probably go down to 3 or 4. It's a shorter route. And so instead of it being a 15-minute ride when you get off the main line into the terminal, it'll probably be 3 to 4 minutes. So each and every train we have is going to save 12, 13, 14 minutes coming in and out of the airport. So that reduces the travel time to and from Chicago significantly. And I can tell you the amount of, there's $650 million going in on the double track project. It's going to save 15 minutes off the schedule for our express train and 20 some minutes off the schedule for our non-express trains. This project's going to save almost that same amount of time for a lot less money. So reducing time to market is a huge driver of people's decisions about what kind of travel they're going to choose. And so we see it as a huge opportunity to drive interest in and riders to the train.
Well, and to me, that's really if there is a disadvantage, that's the only disadvantage of the time. The train is safe. The train is clean. Your staff is friendly. My daughter went to Columbia College, and we battled. I wanted her to take the train in every day because it's just convenient from the airport to, you know, Millennium Station. I mean, it's all right there. And she would say, yeah, but Dad, it's, you know, 2.5 hours home. And now there's just no reason not to. I mean, really.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to drive to, and that's what's driving the investment on the double track project. Is it's not distance that matters to people anymore; right. It's time. That's what's precious. So quality place, quality of life. We're offering a significant quality of life advantage, and all we have to look to. And I mention this every time I talk about why 90 minutes is so important. Amtrak service, which is 90 miles out of Milwaukee Airport to be precise, to downtown Chicago was 2.5 hours. They got it down to 90 minutes, and their ridership in and out of city from Milwaukee to Chicago doubled.
Wow.
But not only did it double, the connections, not the daily rider who's going in every single day, it's the business communities that connected, the universities connected, and opportunities to go back and forth for that day meeting just overnight drove that connection between those two economies. It's the same thing that I see can happen here in South Bend to Chicago if we can just drive that time down to that 90-minute or so mark.
Absolutely.
Great. You mentioned up the line on the double track, some of the development projects and stuff that you think will follow. Talk a little bit about just development interest. What kind of what kind of projects want to be close to where that rail is?
In Michigan City, at Franklin and 11th Street, we had a small station, about 30 cars or 30 passengers a day out of that station. That's going to be our main hub. We will have a double track, two high-level platforms there. There'll be a brand-new station, a multi-story parking deck. There's going to be 200-some luxury apartments right there at the station in downtown Michigan City, and they're already under contract to build it. Flaherty & Collins out of Indianapolis. It's about $100 million or so dollar development. There's another development of about a quarter mile away towards the lakefront. It's about $250 million development. The developers on record is saying the only reason, not the only reason, there's a lot of other facets, but the what pushed them over the edge to make the commitment, to put their money on the table, was the fact that double track was coming. So there's huge excitement, huge investment opportunities, because we all know what we have here in Indiana. We got great quality of life. We have low cost living. Our tax structure is great. We've got a AAA credit rating. We got a lot to offer. Unlocking the potential in being able to get to the third largest business economy in the world, the culture that is downtown, in a quick and efficient and safe basis. That really is an asset that, as a community, I want us to be able to sell.
Great. Let's go back to South Bend for a second, because you mentioned this temporary location this for the last 31 years. But now sort of the conversation is ramping up about let's do something more permanent there. What is it about the timing right now that's got us looking at doing something new?
Well, in my 40-year career, we have never had an infrastructure investment opportunity than we have right now with the transportation bill and with the bipartisan infrastructure package. That's a 5-year funding horizon that's available for us to invest. There is money out there if we can get through the environmental phase, get through the engineering phase, and then go after the federal dollars that exist to compete for that money. I've never seen the kind of opportunities that are in the current funding package today than I've ever seen. So if we're going to strike, if we're going to go after some federal dollars, there's never been a better time to make that happen.
So Mike, as we look at this, you mentioned this 5-year funding window, the biggest federal transportation dollars ever available for rail funding. But you've been doing some work in preparation for this as well, too. Why are you able to do this now and advance it on the federal side?
Well, in 2007, the airport did a environmental assessment supplement looking at moving us from the east side of the airport to the west side. And we went through that process with the FAA, and we got an environmental assessment cleared to get off the our main line and go into the west side of the airport. So we've already done the first leg of the work. It has to be refreshed. Environmental assessments have shelf life to them. They're not, you know, you have to update those. But we already know, we've already been through that pathway. We've already looked at that route once, And we've gone through successfully with the FAA process. So we know that we've got history with this already, that it's more than likely we're going to get clearance if, you know, up after we've updated our environmental plans. And so because of that, we know that if we get the environmental clearance and we have enough engineering, and the feds want to see at least 30% engineering, that we can then file for and go after federal funding and be ready, shovel ready, because that's the one requirement the feds are going to say. They don't want you to come with good ideas. They don't want you to come up with dreams and visions. You have to come to them with environmental clearance and enough engineering to give them a comfort level that you're ready to put shovels in the ground. So that's really the key. We need to be able to go after that federal funding, be positioned for it, be qualified for it in this next, well, it's now 4-year horizon, because the bill's already over a year old.
Great. So let's talk about the airport. You've been there 31 years. Talk about that partnership, why the connection to the airport works well for you.
First of all, the location of the airport's wonderful from a transportation standpoint. It's easy to get in and out of for everybody in this geographic region. We're right off the toll road, right out, not far from 20. The 31's right down the street. Everybody understands where the airport is. They feel comfortable there. They feel safe there. And it's a transportation hub. Now, do we serve the airport specifically for people flying in and out? Probably not. But when we complete this project, not only will we add another one-seat ride to and from Chicago a day, so we'll go from 6 in and out a day to five in and out a day to 6 trains in and out a day to and from Chicago, we're looking to also run shuttle trains out of Michigan City to get to close to hourly service that will connect trains then going into Chicago or coming from Chicago to the airport. A massive amount of potential increased service, not only serving the airport and potential airport customers, but also giving huge new opportunities for everybody in this region to ride the train. So being at the airport has tremendous amount of advantages to us. And from a cost standpoint, it is a very economical way to go.
Right. Mike, you talked about the train spurring some economic activity up the line, for example, on Double Track and on Westlake. Talk a little bit about airport and sort of the opportunity to help influence some development in and around the airport area.
Sure. We know that the airport is very much interested. They've got their international designation. They're very interested in trying to draw some of the international freight cargo that goes through O'Hare and moving it, capturing it over here at South Bend International Airport, and the opportunity then to move some of that freight traffic by rail is enticing to the airport. So they've been a good partner, and they're excited about that opportunity. I think they're excited about the opportunity for us to have closer to hourly service to bring people in and out of the airport, not just from this local area, but from Chicago or from Chesterton or Hammond or Munster, who can get on a train and come right into the airport knowing they can get to or from the airport via rail. And I know, looking around the country, there's two areas where there's massive amount of ridership growth, and those are the commuter railroads that are being built into airports like Dallas-Fort Worth or the Denver International Airport. Both airports now have commuter rail connections in, and they're seeing lots of ridership growth because of that.
Great. Mike, as the airport route is evolving, a number of neighbors have been out to public meetings and stuff. What would you say to neighbors who are in this process, who are just thinking about this potential coming through? Help put their minds at ease about what the planning that's going on now.
Sure. And you know, there's going to have to be some property acquisition. There's already been a lot of acquisition on this route. So the amount of property that we'll need to acquire is significantly less than it would have been 20 years ago. Anybody's homes that we acquire as part of this federal project will have the benefit of the Federal Uniform Relocation Act. And it's a very pro-homeowner law. And so, I can't tell you to take my word for it, but what I can tell you is we've acquired 400 properties between Double Track and Westlake. We have had not one single residential property go to eminent domain through the court system. We have fairly and I think very generously, but appropriately dealt at an arm's length with the homeowners where we acquired their property. And so you don't see any issues. You don't see letters to the their congressmen or complaints to their local officials in their local communities, because they have been very fairly taken care of. And that's the process here. We acquired 50 homes in Michigan City in order to make the double track project a reality. We've acquired 90 homes on the Westlake corridor. It's never easy to take someone's home. You should only do it when the greater good is essential to make that happen. So I think this is one of those projects that merits that, but the property owners that we acquire will be well treated.
Great. Mike, let's shift a little bit because, you know, historically the train came downtown. There's some folks who are thinking about it downtown again. Now, talk a little bit about the downtown option.
I think downtown option is great. I fully support going downtown as part of a phased process. And the beautiful thing about our current project and what DLZ, our engineering firm of record, has been tasked to do is to develop this project so we'll have an airport transfer station so that when we someday we'll get ourselves into the airport, but when we're ready to go to phase two, phase one is going into the airport. Phase two will be develop an airport transfer station where we'll build a platform along our main line, and anybody who wants to go to the airport will get off our train. We'll get on a two-car shuttle that will go into the airport, and that's all it'll do. It'll go between the airport transfer station and the airport, like a people mover at O'Hare, and then the mainline train can come into downtown Chicago. Now, that's probably an 8 to 10 year project between if we started today and went through the entire environmental process, then went through the engineering process, then went through the federal grant application, put the project out to bid, and then built the project. And it's a significantly more expensive project, but we are 100% behind as a South Shore Line making that a reality someday. Just like on our Westlake corridor, we're building it today to the border of Munster-Dyer. Our goal is in phase two to get down to Lowell, Cedar Lake, St. John. These are projects that you start and you build step A, and then you then go to step B when you want to make them happen. We definitely support going to downtown South Bend in the future.
So, Mike, you talked about the funding window that you're in right now, this five-year window. So if I'm hearing you right, one of the challenges being this current funding available on the federal level wouldn't be an opportunity for downtown, and we sort of there would be uncertainty about what that funding might look like in the future.
We would not get through the environmental process. To go downtown is a much more significant project. It requires a lot more property. It would not be an environmental assessment. It would be a full blown environmental impact statement. We just did one on the South Shore Line for the Westlake Quarter. It was a four and a half year process before we got through that whole process. If we started today with the environmental process to get downtown, we will be outside of the current federal funding. Now, I can't tell you, nobody who is in this room or anywhere in the country could say what the next transportation bill or infrastructure bill could be. All I can go on is in my 40-year career, I've never seen anything like this. So I'm looking at what we have now as an opportunity. It may be a once in a generational opportunity, to a lifetime opportunity to see something like this happen. And I want to be able to take advantage of the funding possibilities that are there.
Great. Let's head back to property for a second. You mentioned at the airport, likely some property acquisition would need to happen to make that happen. You also touched on that briefly, that downtown as well. Talk a little bit about just the property acquisition need, not necessarily any specific properties, but why we need property acquisition. Why can't we even just use the right of way that's there?
Well, the Norfolk Southern has some right of way that would be adjacent to where our trackage would need to go from. We still own the track all the way to where Amtrak is along Bendix, but then we would need to acquire right of way to get from where our trackage ends to downtown Chicago. Downtown South Bend. We've approached the Norfolk Southern. They do have some extra room, but the Norfolk Southern has said unequivocally no, they're not interested in giving up that right-of-way. It is their busiest freight corridor in the entire country. It's almost a virtual certainty that they're not going to give us any of their land, and so I've heard people talk about that, but I've had direct conversations with the NS. I have letters from the NS telling us they're not interested in giving it up. And that is exactly what I would expect at a class one like Norfolk Southern to tell us. They just aren't in the business of giving up potential flexibility, potential capacity along the rail systems.
So a couple of big capital projects. Let's shift for a second as we get near the end of our time here. Talk a little bit. Mark was talking a little bit about just the rider experience. So not in addition to these great routes and better time and safety and all this, the passenger experience too. So just talk about those kind of investments that you make in the trains and other things to help make the passenger experience.
Sure. Well, part of the double track project too is also enhancements to stations. So the folks who've ridden our train out of South Bend know that it's high level boarding. You basically, the doors open up and like an elevator, you walk right on the train. That's not the physical environment that you see going west towards Chicago. We have a lot of places where you board at street level and you go up a bunch of stairs on a narrow sort of walkway. It takes a lot longer to get on. And as an example, you can't bring your bicycle on the train at low level boarding stations, only at high level boarding stations. Once we finish the project, we'll have high-level boarding at Michigan City. We'll have high-level boarding at Ogden Dunes. We'll have high-level boarding in Miller Beach in Gary. So the bike enthusiasts, folks who want to get on their bikes and you know go back and forth to Chicago or in points in between, now could bring their bikes on the trains. High-level boarding is nicer for individuals. As we get older, going up and down the stairs isn't as easy as it used to be, especially if you've got luggage.
He's talking about you, Miguel.
Yeah, he looked right at me.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll tell you, it's me. So it's great for those of us who, and especially for our customers with disabilities who, I might have a lift, but it's much nicer to roll up onto a ramp and get onto one of our trains. So our amenities are improving. We're also investing millions and millions of dollars in rehabbing our equipment. And our own forces do it in Michigan City. All new seats, all new flooring, all new windows, all new bathrooms, plug-in USBs to charge your phones, Wi-Fi on the trains. We're trying to make that travel experience nicer as we also give more frequency, quicker time to market, better on-time performance.
Yeah, we traveled less than a month ago from here to Chicago, double-decker train. It was beautiful. I was in my absolute happy place.
Yeah. Now, of course, we are busing because, you know, we are building the double track's a $650 million project, and we're busing because we've the railroad's under construction. But we have great partners at Royal Excursion over here in Granger. They're wonderful. They're wonderful buses, and so we're making the best of that short-term situation. We open up in May of next year. So our logo right now, or our marketing slogan is "Pardon Our Dust." You're going to have to live through a little bit of short-term investment, short-term pain for long-term gain.
But even that you've made really not an inconvenience, because we did. We got off the train, got on the bus sitting right at the station,
right,
and they took us right to Gary. We went right up, and the train was waiting for us.
Yep.
So a little inconvenience, but really not. I mean, you've made it super easy. And you don't really lose a lot of time because two buses are waiting for you. The train's waiting. It wasn't really a hassle.
Yeah. Yep. I will prefer it once we
no
longer have to have the bus bridge and you can take a train straight through.
Yeah, yep. But it was not a problem.
Yep. Final word, Mike, anything else you want to leave our listeners with today?
The railroad that exists today is not the railroad that's going to exist tomorrow. I've never in my entire career seen this kind of investment. Our annual capital plan was $20 million a year when I first got here. As I said, these two projects are $1.6 billion, plus the rest of our capital program in the next 5 years is about another $400 million. We're putting $2 billion into the South Shore investment in infrastructure. It's going to be a game changer, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah. The Behind the Region podcast being powered by Tech Tyler PC. Today, cyber threats are rapidly expanding. Let Tech Tyler PC provide the tools and training your business needs so you can spend more time with your family and friends on the South Shore, enjoying life rather than worrying about and struggling with your tech problems. From Office 365 email setup and management to complete IT, including 24/7 monitoring, management, antivirus backups, and encryption, let Tech Tyler PC help. Call them today for a free consultation, 855-213-5016, or send them an email at sales@techtylerpc.com. Tech Tyler PC, managing all your IT needs.
He's Mike Nolan. He's the head of the South Shore Railroad. Mike, thanks so much for being here today. Really appreciate you being part of this.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. For more information on the South Bend Regional Chamber or to become a chamber member, please visit our website at sbrchamber.com.